Good morning, Redeemer family and friends. It is my honor to be before you again this morning. We thank your wonderful pastor, Sten Erik, as well as your great hospitality. I am Herman Baxter, and I just love sharing God's word with you today. I'm thankful for those who read the scripture and the wonderful worship songs this morning. If I may, I would like to read in your hearing again from Psalms 91, and I only read two verses, verses 1 and verse 16. Psalms 91, verses 1 and verse 16. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 14, it says, because he has his heart set on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. If we had to put a tag on the text this morning, how do we live within the shelter of God? How do we live within the shelter of God? Would you join me in prayer? Father, how grateful and wonderful it is to know that you are always near, but more importantly, that we have a right relationship with you because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. I grew up and I also served in the military towards the end of what many people would call the Cold War. For those who remember those days, there was a time when we were frightened about nuclear explosions. And we had these symbols. Matter of fact, some buildings still have them, these nuclear fallout symbols, this round circle with these three triangles. And everyone was supposed to be aware that if there was an attack, that you can go to these shelter, these bomb shelters, for your protection and for your safety. I still remember one of the video training, the videos that we had was duck and cover, duck and cover. Brothers and sisters, today we still need a shelter. I pray we will not have to use a nuclear or bomb shelter. But we have many things that's going on in this world that feels like a nuclear explosion. We are still walking through this pandemic that is hitting us both physically and psychologically. We're dealing with all types of social unrest where it's not, what can I do for my country? Unfortunately, it's a battle to even know, can I survive in my own country? I'm here to bring a word of encouragement, especially for those who believe and trust in God. But even if you don't, I still want to offer you a place of refuge, a place of rescue. And that is knowing that we can live in the protection of Almighty God. We can live in the protection of Almighty God, not that we are taken away from hazards and from calamity, but we can live knowing and trusting that our true and almighty God will protect us. The psalm that I'm introducing this morning, it's kind of unusual in that we don't know who actually wrote it, unlike Psalms 23, where we attribute it to David. This psalm doesn't necessarily give a specific time or period, but what it does give us is the assurance that those who place their faith in God are assured of his shelter and protection. We need to know that there's a place to be safe from hurt and from harm. Many of us are being wise and we're wearing our mask and we're remaining social distance, but that should not preclude us from living, although we have to do some wise actions. God wants us to know that if we place our faith and trust in him, we have a confident trust, we have total security, and we have a divine assurance that he will take care of us. This morning, as we look at how do we live in God's protective custody, we want to look at this confident trust, this total security, and this divine assurance. Let's take a look at confident trust. Would you join me in verse 1 again? And it says in Psalms 91, it says, "The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty." This first point that we see here, that in dealing with confident trust, we see that there's a truth as well as there's a testimony. The truth is, the one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. So what is the truth? The truth is that God is living, that God is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's everywhere, and he provides a place of protection. So the shelter, unlike the nuclear fallout shelters, is not a building that's sitting on a corner made out of brick that can easily fall down. The shelter that the psalmist is telling us about is a person. And that's where we can find true confidence and trust. And that God's divine shelter is not a place, a physical place that we can run to and still have some fears. It is he himself. God is this confident trust that we place ourselves in. But for us to realize this truth, we notice two words that stands out here. One of it is lives and dwells. I'm here to remind us that although we are separated and we have yet to physically come together as brothers and sisters in Christ in this building, we must also remember to live confidently in God's shelter means that we live. I know that sounds funny, but some of us were getting a little bit on the line of, well, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't want to live. I just want to stay in my corner until everything gets all right. And that's not what God is saying. He is saying that I am your God. I am your shelter. And because of that, you must live, have life, be wise, but live. But God also says in order for you to understand my confident shelter, you have to dwell. Did you notice that he didn't say that you live and then you just stop by every now and then? To dwell here means to sit. I'm reminded of my grandparents. When you came by their house, you didn't just walk in the door and turn around and walked out. You had to sit a spell. God says, to understand my confident trust, you have to dwell with me. Are you dwelling with God even in the midst of social distancing? Are you dwelling with God even in the midst of social unrest? To dwell, oh God, is to spend time with him. Please, I implore you, I pray that we're not doing the Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day visit even in social distancing. Have you reached out to another brother and sister? Have you gave them a call? Check on them, see how they're doing? Yes, maybe there's a park that you can walk together on a path, wear your mask, but maybe there's also a time that you can say, I thought about you, so I wrote a letter. Whatever it is, dwell with only that person, but more importantly, dwell with your God. Confident trust in him is realizing that God is my shelter and I can live and I should dwell with him. But it also includes a personal testimony. Look at verse 2. The psalmist says, I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I don't know about you, but it's screaming the personal pronouns of confident trust. When you have confident trust in who your God is, you make it personal. You don't let nobody else just say, I love God. You say, no, that's my God. Now, I'm not saying that you can own God for yourself, but when your confidence is established and rooted in who God is, then you realize he becomes personal. Because while you're dwelling, you realize that he is always present for you. He's always there to take care of you. And then here's the excitement. We can live in confidence, knowing that it's your God. He's there for you. When you call out to him in despair, he's there to not only hear, but to answer. The first point in realizing how do we live in the shelter of the Almighty God is that there's a confident trust in him. I was just reminded this past weekend, my family and I, we had opportunity to do a little swimming in the lake. And my youngest daughter, she's getting a little better at swimming. And she was wearing her life jacket, and the part of the lake wasn't that deep. And although she had a life jacket on, it amazed me how she became more confident in her swimming when she knew that I was standing by. Brothers and sisters, how confident are you in that although God has given us blessings, some of them physical and tangible, but are you living confidently that God is always by? But the text is moving in that there's not only a confident trust in understanding how do we live in the shelter of God, there's an understanding of his total security. Look with me in verse 3. It says, he himself will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. I'm going to pause right there to let you know that there's a total security when we live in the protective shelter of God. The total security has three small parts to it in that there's this perfect protection. And in verse 3, the psalmist writes that God himself will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. In other words, there are ways that God rescues us from those dangers seen and unseen. The bird trap, the fowler, he sets the trap to capture the bird. And how many can testify this morning that there's security in knowing that when we placed ourselves in some traps, God came through and rescued us. But what about the plague? I mean, no one knew when and how COVID-19 was to come. But can you see how there's total security in God? In the midst of unfortunate death and darkness, God has given security, not because we live in a certain zip code, but God has given security to the believer and saying, I got you even in the plague. These things will not destroy you, because he says in verse 4, he will cover us. Now, I haven't had a chance to witness this, but I'm told when there's young chicks and there's young birds and storms are coming, that the mother bird will just stretch out her wings and the chicks can have this comfort and total security, knowing that the wings of the mother is there. If that happens for creatures, what kind of protection do you think God gives when he places his hand around us? Do you remember the story of Joseph? I love that phrase in Genesis, and the hand of the Lord was upon Joseph. Joseph going through the pit, through the palace, and God covered him through that. Even in our daily walk, it may seem that nothing is going right. It may seem that everything has fallen off, but God's perfect security is there. But it's not only his perfect security, it's his prevailing security. Look at verse 7. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it will not reach you. I don't know about you, but it gets dangerous driving on the streets of our city. Sometimes it's challenging making it to the store and back home. But do you know that your almighty, loving, and faithful God protects you to the store and back? He protects you even walking down the hall of your home. How much more will he protect us that things around us would not even reach us? 1,000, 10,000 things that want to attack us will fall away. And it says here that we will witness. Have you sat back and witnessed how God has protected you? Are you living in this total security, or are you still relying on your ADT numbers? Are you relying on the security of your bank account, or that God can provide for each and every one of us? The total security is perfect, it's prevailing, and it's from our Almighty God. But also, I want to point out something to you. God himself says, I not only secure you in my total security, but look with me in verse 11. He says, for he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Let me pause for a moment in that some of you have already flashed forward a little bit from the Psalms into Matthew, and you realize, wait a minute, I heard this verse before. This is the only direct quote that we have Satan saying to Jesus. Jesus, if you follow me, yeah, angels will come and take care of you. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I want to point out to you that God's protection is not only perfect and prevailing, but God dispatches support for us. His total security reaches, watch this now, not to a single guardian angel. He sends an army of angels to protect us, to support us, to take care of us. That's better than a piece of a rock or the good hands, people. God sends an angel to take care of us. But don't get it twisted, because just like Satan tried to tempt Jesus with, well, just follow me, God's got you. God is saying, my total security is not just because you wish upon it, not because you think you can snap your fingers for it. It comes through your faithfulness and love and devotion to me. God's total security is not paid for monetarily, but it's by giving your total life to him. Have you given your life to God? Maybe that's why you're feeling a little insecure this morning. Maybe that's why you're not truly understanding this metaphor of God being a shelter, a protective place for you to live this morning. As you look from Psalms 90, at least through Psalms 94, it's a wonderful pattern of how God the King proclaims himself, but it's also God the refuge. And this refuge is just not for those who believe, but this message of refuge, this message of shelter is for all the nations. And I stopped by here this morning to remind us, family, then to tell you, friends, that Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. If you want to understand what it means to have confident trust, if you want to understand what it means to have total security, Jesus is the way. And the psalmist is just giving another reminder that guess what? This same Jesus, this same God offers a way for us to live in total protection through confident trust, through total security. But we have to believe it. We have to trust in him. We have to obey him. God's confident trust and God's total security is there for us whenever we need it. If I can, before we move on to verse 13, it says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. This is not God saying for us to go out there and actually go down to the Dallas Zoo and try to tell the lions to lay down so I can walk in. Please don't go to the snake pit and try to do that. But metaphorically, the psalmist is trying to say that when you live, when I live, when we live in the shelter of God, the obvious lion won't hurt us. And the manipulative secret snake cannot harm us because we have confident trust. We have total security. But that also leads to a divine assurance. How do we live? In the total security, in the shelter of God, we have our confident trust. We have total security. But God says you will have divine assurance. Look with me in verse 14. Because he has his heart set on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him. I will give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. I said earlier that the psalm, we weren't able to attribute it to one particular author, the divine author, God, yes. But the psalm also takes a different direction because it seems like there's different voices in the psalm. Some play at least three voices. But I would say this last stanza of this psalm is the voice of God. Because if you notice, it wasn't just a psalmist talking, it's now God talking. And God wants us to know that he has the final word. If you pick up on his pronouns, they are present, they are active, and they are powerful. Because six times God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. You want to understand what divine assurance is? It's when God himself says, I am going to do something. Do you remember back in Exodus when God calls Moses and says, I am going to get my people out of Egypt. And I understand the pestilence are going to come. But guess what? If you listen to my voice, I will deliver you. Even at the Red Sea, what did the people start to do? Moses, did you bring us out here so we can die? God says, Moses, stretch out your rod and see what I am going to do. We have it here. And God says, guess what? There's a divine assurance I want to give you. But the first part of divine assurance is that we have to do our part. Verse 14 says, because he, you and me, has his heart set on me. Do you understand this divine assurance? Do you have your heart set on God? Is your heart, is your love pointed to him? Is it set on him? This love and this heart here is not just a feeling or a thought. It's an action. It's an action of love that says, there are many things that I like, but I love my God. Are you willing to serve not out of duty, but out of your love for him? God says, if you set your heart on me, I will deliver you. Matter of fact, I will protect you when your heart is set on me. But divine assurance not only has a love for God, but he knows my name. Some of us have some fancy cars. We got them Mercedes, you know, Mercedes payments. We have Porsches and Ferraris. You buy things because of the name forward. God says to understand divine assurance, you have to know my name. Some of you know me as Herman Baxter. Some of y'all know me as Bax. But do you really know me? Some of us, we're real quick to name drop when we come across a celebrity. Oh, I know, fill in the blank. But do you really know them? God says, I want you to love me for my divine assurance. But do you really know me to understand the divine assurance? This psalm is not just a blank check to say, oh, I know. I know about God. He protects me. No, because if you jump out into some situation without knowing who God is, you just jumped out into a situation without God. God wants us to really know who he is to understand his divine assurance. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, my Father. Can you see how it connects back to the early part of the psalm? To know God is to make him personal in your life. But also in divine assurance, it's not only loving God, it's not only knowing God, but verse 15, it says, he calls out to me. Divine assurance is assured in our part of loving God, of knowing God, but calling on God, praying to him. Are you praying today, saints? And I don't mean to slight anyone, and I'm not saying, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's okay, that's a start. But are you following, for example, in Matthew, when it says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Are you praying to God that although, God, this situation is waxing worse and worse, I know you've protected me. I know I have assurance in you. How can I still serve you even in the midst of trouble? Are you praying to God that your church continues to be a light on a hill, proclaiming the gospel message, but then working out the gospel message by helping others, by loving on others, by taking care of us? God says, divine assurance from your part is that you love me, that you know me, that you pray to me. But then don't you love a covenant-keeping and a covenant-giving God? Because God says, divine assurance is not only your devotion to me, but it's my devotion to you. God says here, I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. Warren Risby says it's great that doctors will try to add years to your life, but God says he adds life to our years. My brothers and sisters, this divine assurance is that God says, I will do my part toward you. When you're in trouble, I rescue you. When I rescue you, I elevate you. Have you been in some dark places and God rescue you? And instead of putting your mess on Facebook and on TikTok, he elevated you and now you're serving with honor? Can you look back on your life and say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? God says, my part is to satisfy you with long life, not for longevity so you can get more stuff, but that your life will be meaningful because it will be devoted and poured out to him. Salvation from God is that I'm not just existing somewhere. I'm living now and in eternity by and for him. The psalmist wants to remind us that there is a way to live in the shelter of God. It's through confident trust, it's through his total security, and it's by his divine assurance. The story is told of a man who didn't like to fly, but he got on a plane because he had to make his business trip. And as he's on his plane flying, turbulence, severe turbulence came. You can just imagine as he's gripping the handrails of the seat and he's shaking. He's like, why did I get on this plane? But he happens to look to the passenger to his right, and it's a young boy. And through all this shake, rattle, and roll, the young boy is just sitting there playing with his toys, oblivious to all what's going on around him. The man in his frightened state tells the young boy, aren't you scared? And the young boy, with confidence and total security, looked up and said, I'm not scared at all, because my daddy's the pilot, and I know we get there. Brothers and sisters, friends and guests, are you living in the security knowing that God is the pilot of your life? Do you have confident trust in him? Are you relying everything and anything on him? Do you have the divine assurance that you're taken care of not only for today, but that there's hope for tomorrow? I'm reminded of a song, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. And Father, we're so grateful that you do take care of us. Your grace is so plentiful. Your love is unending. And we're thankful that we can find safety, we can find protection, we can live under your shadow. Help us, Lord. Continue to remind us to place our trust in you. And maybe there's someone that's listening and watching today that doesn't understand about your divine protection. Lord God, I pray that the gospel message will fall on fertile ground, that their hearts will be turned to you. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be transformed by the renewing of their mind, because they put their faith and trust in the only Savior, Jesus, whom the word testifies is the Christ. You be glorified. Your name be magnified, Lord. In the name of Jesus and by your Spirit, I pray. Amen.